Okay, let's stand, please, for the reading of our word. We'll read a few verses in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, starting in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Father, we are so thankful today for your word, for this place that we have, a place of refuge, a place to be built up and encouraged, to be fed, to be healed. And we just ask, God, your blessing right now upon each person who hears, that our ears would be opened. Give us a spirit of concentration. And we ask, God, your blessing on Pastor Bob now as he speaks. Lord, give him the words that he needs. And just build the body. We are so thankful today. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Good morning. Two things happen as you walk from that chair to this, whatever it's called, pulpit. Yeah. Number one is every drop of moisture in your mouth is sucked out. And you're like, and number two is everything that you thought you knew in that chair is gone when you get up here. And I mean, honestly, that is the honest truth. It's some kind of, I don't know if Scotty Dubé's got some kind of machine up there. It's frightening. What is it, 20 steps, Pastor Hadley, maybe? 20 steps at the most. And a lot goes on. Okay. Hey, how was everybody this morning? Isn't it nice that we're living in 2022 is such a calm year? You know, you just get up in the morning and like, oh, man, I'm so glad. You know, it's just there's nothing going on in the world. It's just we can just relax and worship God and go out and lay in our backyard in the daffodils. And life is so simple and uncomplicated. And if that's your life, God bless you. Really, I wish it was my life, you know. But instead, it's the exact opposite, isn't it? You know, like, here we are, this is March 2022, literally 2 years ago, almost to the day, the life changed as we knew it, you know, at that point with the whole COVID thing, you know. And for 2 years, we were bombarded with, I mean, I don't have to reiterate it, we all know what it was like, you know. And every time it seemed like there was like, okay, maybe we're seeing a path out of this, you know, the next strain would come in, the Delta strain, the Omicron, the who knows what, you know, one strain after another, after, and you kind of like just start to breathe and all of a sudden another, you know, and take your mask off. Now you got to put it on, take your mask, put it on, get the vaccine, don't get the vaccine, right? I mean, isn't this what we went through for 2 years? And then, you know, maybe like four and a half weeks ago, you're like, oh, this is looking a little better. And then there's war in the Ukraine, in Europe, which hasn't happened in, you know, for the most part, hasn't happened in over 70, 75 years. And it's like, can we catch a break? You know, seriously? It's like you go from the whole, and now all of a sudden there's these little news reports, some new strain of the virus somewhere in the world, you know? And it's really, it's like it's everywhere, you know? And I was thinking this morning, like, and I don't recommend, I grew up in the, when I was a kid, it was newspapers that we read. And I always remember, I mean, I grew up in New York, and so there was many newspapers, and every morning there'd be two newspapers at the door, and then in the afternoon another newspaper would come. And on Sundays, all three of them would come at the same time, and it was like a four-foot stack of newspapers out there. You know, it was like, and my mom and dad would sit there all day and just pour through the ads and tear out coupons and, you know, and then now it's the, most of us get our news off our phones, right? And you thought, oh, this is, you know, different, you know. And I don't recommend this, but, you know, you can get up in the morning and you know, you pull out your phone. Okay, what's going on in the world? What happened overnight? And it's like, okay, oh, here's 15 articles on the war. Okay, here's an article on COVID. Oh, here's gas prices like $4.50 a gallon. Here's an article on inflation. Here's an article on the price of groceries. You know, here's an article on, you know, the world is going to end in 10 years. Right? Aren't we like, you know, do you ever see those mime characters where they're like stuck on a wall? They can't move. Isn't that what it feels like? Like we're in this box. Surrounded. And you know, and this is us. Like we are believers, you know, we have another way of thinking. I said this recently. Can you imagine being unsaved and going through this over the last, well, you know, I'm just specifically talking the last 2-3 years, you know, looking forward to the vaccine, and this is not an anti-pro-vax thing. I'm using it as an example. Looking forward to something that will be the savior and give your life back, and then it doesn't meet up to everything it was supposed to be. You know, like you're, so this is what you're trusting in. And then it just gets shot down. And then it's like I said, things start to end, and now there's war. And the war, and you know, you think, well, that's over there. It's not going to affect us, but it does affect us. And you're unsaved. You have no idea of how to think about this stuff. And it's just like, you know, that's why, along with all those articles about the things I mentioned, what are the other articles we're reading? Anxiety levels are out off the charts. You know, what does all this produce? I mean, we are human beings. We can only take so much of this. We can only process so much information. And after a while, it just starts to, you know, cause anxiety, depression, despair, you know, discouragement, you know, hopelessness, you know, and we read about even suicide. We read about all kinds of things that are happening in homes. And then also, you know, how does it affect us personally? Maybe it's our job. Maybe it's, you know, is my paycheck going to make it to the end of the week? Can I go buy groceries? Can I fill my car up? You know, how much of this can the human mind take? And this is like amazing. This is where we're at, and this is what it has produced. You know, have you ever done this? And I've done this. I don't recommend it. I mean, I could get up in the morning. I've done it too many times. You know, read the news, and like 20 minutes later, I'm totally depressed. Like totally depressed. Where's Jerry? I heard Jerry say yes. Don't do it, Jerry, I'm telling you. You know what I mean? Like I'm depressed by like 7:30 in the morning. I haven't even gone to work yet. I haven't done anything. I haven't stepped out of the house yet. I'm depressed. You know, my wife gets up, hey, how's it going? Don't even talk to me. Do you have any idea what's going on in the world? And then I'm like ranting around the kitchen like, you know, did you read about this and this and this? And all of a sudden, I'm like out of my mind. And it's like, oh, it's 7:45 now. How am I going to make it through the rest of the day? It's crazy, right? So then you say, okay, it's crazy. What does the Bible have to say about this? So what did Pastor Mark read? In Matthew 6:25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than raiment, or food and more than raiment? Then you read this, and I don't know, like, take no thought for any of this stuff about your, you know, your life. And again, I'm going to be honest. So many times I've read this verse, so many times I've heard people read this verse or preach on it. And, you know, so many times I've said, well, that's not practical. I don't know. Is that, you don't raise your hand because I don't want to know. But I'm just saying that I have done that. Like really, God? Like with all that's going on in our lives personally, in our you know, our family life, you know, in the country, in the world, and your answer is to take no thought? Like, I you know, it seems so unnatural. Is that the right way to say it? Yeah, it seems so unnatural that we could, God would say to us, okay, here's the answer for all the cares that you are, that are weighing you down, that are affecting you emotionally, that are, you know, causing despair or depression or whatever. Here's the answer. Don't think about them. Don't think about what you're going to wear. Don't think about what you're going to eat. Don't think about buying gas for your car. Don't think about paying your rent. Don't think about paying your mortgage. And I'm like, come on, God. Like, this is not practical. Like, give me a practical verse. You know? Give me something. And God just says, take no thought. And then he says it in Philippians chapter 4. He says also, be not careful. It's the same, you know, it's interesting. What Jesus says here in Matthew 6:25 and what Paul says, be not anxious in Philippians 4 is the same word in the Greek. So Jesus is saying, take no thought for these things, your life, any of these things. And Paul says it in Philippians 4, take no thought for these things also. Be not anxious. You know, it's so hard to not be anxious. What is anxiety? I just looked it up in Webster's Dictionary, a state of being uneasy. Well, gosh, I'm that way sometimes. A state of being uneasy, apprehensive, or worried about what may happen. Isn't that interesting? Anxiety is not worrying about what has happened. It's worrying about what could happen. And Jesus is saying, take no thought about those things. You know, and this is kind of like, you know, I struggle with this verse. Take no thought. Be not anxious. Because, again, because we are surrounded in our face, bombarded with news. None of it. When's the last time you heard a positive story on the news? You know? Hey, Greater Grace Church went on outreach yesterday and 5 souls were led to Christ. That's the lead story on NBC News. I don't know. I may have missed that one. I'm not sure. You know, successful Eurocon 20, Greater Grace returns to Poland. Successful Eurocon 2020. Amen. You know, tune in at 11 for details and a full reading of Pastor Shallow's message. Yeah. I don't know. I missed that newscast also. Right? I mean, where is this? Where is good news? We're surrounded. We're surrounded, and God says, don't be anxious about any of this. Don't even take thought about it. Don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about your situation. And what is our response? God, you don't know my situation. Right? You, the omniscient God, knows all. You, the God who created me. You, the God who is omnipresent. You, the God who is all-powerful. You're the God who created the universe, spoke it into existence. You're the God that fearfully and wonderfully made me, but you don't know my situation. My situation, God, is so unique that in the thousands of years of mankind, Nobody has ever had the problems that I personally have. Because I am that, and we are unique. And I don't know what your problems are, and you don't know what my problems are. And they are unique to us in that sense. But we're talking about God. We're talking about an omniscient, all-knowing God who is so far ahead of us as far as our thinking goes. The things that we are taking thought about, that are anxious about, God already has a solution. You know, I always love the story in Exodus, I think it's chapter 2, the children of Israel cried unto God by reason of their, you know, they were slaves in Egypt at that point, and they would cry unto God. And while they're crying unto God, God is preparing the answer to their cry, which is Moses in the backside of the desert. God, will you ever come? And God says, he doesn't say it to them, but he says, I am preparing the answer. The deliverer is being prepared as you speak and cry unto me. I love that. Like we are crying unto God, and God says, I already have the answer. I already have the answer. And it will be perfect in its time when it is delivered. I want to look at this story. If you want to turn to, It's 2 Kings, chapter 6. And this is actually one of my favorite stories in the Bible. And 2 Kings chapter 6, this is the prophet Elisha, as opposed to Elijah. And it starts in verse 8, and I'll just fill you in on the story. So the king of Syria is attacking Israel. So Syria is attacking Israel. The king of Syria makes his battle plans. And he says, okay, this is where Israel is. We're going to attack Israel in this valley or this place. God reveals to the prophet Elisha, did I say it right? It's so, why couldn't God make those names more different? Elisha. Every night he reveals the plans of the Syrian king to the prophet. The prophet tells the king of Israel. The king of Israel thwarts the plans of the king of Syria. So you're either totally confused or you're with me on that, right? You understand what I'm saying? And the king of Syria, in verse 11, says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was very troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Like, who is the traitor in this room? Somebody is telling the battle plans to the enemy. Which one of us is the traitor? And one of its servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speak in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dotham. Therefore he sent their horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night, and compassed the city about. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? Okay, did you follow that? So here they are, they're in this city. You know, I picture them being in a house somewhere, you know, they're spending the night there. And during the night, the king of Syria finds out where they are. He sends his troops, chariots, horses, soldiers, etc., and surrounds the whole village. You know, surrounded every side. The servant gets up early, and I picture this in my mind, and walks outside kind of like, you know, maybe it was a day like today or yesterday, a night, you know, goes out and kind of, you know, stretching like, oh, great day. It's awesome. Wow. You know, I wonder what God has for us today. And then he sees a chariot. He's like, oh, wow, a chariot. Oh, chariot. There's chariots, soldiers, everywhere. Surrounded totally. No way out. I mean, this is a difficult situation, kind of like the way we feel sometimes, like we were describing earlier. Surrounded. Everywhere you look, it's the same thing, some kind of trouble, something going on. This servant goes out of the house, just a regular day, and this is what he sees. And he's like, Master, what shall we do? Like, you know, that anxiety, that panic, that anxiety, what's going to happen? Oh, gosh, we're going to die. This is awful. You know, I don't want to die in this city. My parents will never know that I died here. And, you know, all of this kind of stuff. Can you, you know how your mind, you know, like you scratch your finger and then you say, oh, gosh, I could die from this. Right? Isn't that where your mind goes? Oh, you know, well, look, it's a little red. It's, oh, gosh, now it's got a little, you know. And then, you know, wow, I could lose my, if I lose my finger, I might lose, oh, then it could go to my hand, my arm, my heart, and I'm dead. And this is like, this is our mind. Well, this is my mind. I'm sorry. My wife can attest to this, so she knows I'm not making any of this up. This is what happens. So here's this guy. He walks out of the house, and it's like surrounded on every side, no way out. And he says, what shall we do? And you would think that the prophet would jump out of bed, peer out the window, and say, oh, my gosh, you know, we're in deep trouble. But what does he say? Verse 16, and he answered, fear not. Fear is another thing that all of this produces, isn't it? All this uncertainty produces fear. All that COVID news produced fear, right? Natural, unnatural fear. Crazy. There's probably people that haven't left their house yet in 2 years because of fear, and it's real to them. So what does the prophet say? He says, fear not, first thing. For they who are with us are more than they who are with them. Wow. So listen, you're the servant. You've seen that. He hasn't. And what does he say to you? Hey, no problem. Those who are with us are more than they who are with them. I'm the servant. I'm like, one, two. There's more than two of them out there. You know? Do you understand what I said? We are surrounded. Fear not. Take no thought. Right? Couldn't you say that? Take no thought. Be not anxious. Well, what do you mean, prophet? Come on. You know, come with me out the door. Fear not. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha in verse 17 prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Wow. This is our God. You know, wait a second. By sight, we are surrounded. By sight, we're in trouble. By sight, I see no way out. By sight, my finances aren't going to make it. By sight, my paycheck's not going to make it. By sight, I don't know what's going to happen in the world. By sight. And this is what the prophet says. Lord, open his eyes that he may see. What? What is real? You know, this stuff is real. But I call it the real reality. Like, what is the real reality? Is it that we are surrounded by these guys? That's reality. That's real. But there's a greater reality that is revealed here, and that is that those who are with us are more than those that are with them. That those guys think they have the advantage on us, and God says, they got nothing. I got them surrounded with chariots of fire. And what does he do? He blinds them and leads them into captivity, the enemy. And it's like, but wait, you know, and the young man, the servant could say, gosh, you know, I was so worried about that. And look what God did. I was so stressed by that. Look what God did. And God would say, they were there all the time. Right? It wasn't like this is just a show for them. They were there all the time. It's just that he couldn't see them. Right? And that's the way it is with our lives. I mean, God is in control all the time. God has a provision for us all the time, but we just can't see it all the time until God chooses to reveal it to us. And this is where it takes, what is it? It takes faith. It takes believing that God has everything in control. It really does. And knowing that, not, you know, again, evidence says this, the real reality says this, that God is in control of that situation and every situation. You know, I love when Jesus said this, when the disciples were trying, you know, Peter in particular, you know, when Jesus was getting arrested in the garden and he cut off the servant's ear. And I believe it's that, I didn't look this up, but I think it's in that situation where he said, "Know ye not that I can call down, was it a legion of angels? They could come and rescue me." And I'm thinking, boy, that's, you know, the reality is that Jesus is being arrested. The reality, you know, what you see, you know, the disciples are like, oh gosh, how can we got to save him. We got to defend him. We got to do this. Let's pick up our swords. But Jesus sees the real reality. And he knows, you know, like it's one of those times where God peels back the curtain and we get a chance to see what's really going on. And Jesus says, yeah, don't you know that I could call down a legion of angels? And he could have said it this way, I don't even need a legion. He could send down one angel and I'm free. But that's not God's will in this situation. You know, so this is what our lives, this is, so knowing this, what we just talked about, and this is, you know, some, you know, we could say, well, that happened for Elisha, that was then, that was the Old Testament, God doesn't do that stuff anymore. I mean, I don't know if you ever heard that, there are people, you know, that was then, this is now, it's different. Well, no, I believe it says that in Jesus said, in Hebrews it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. You're forever, you're today, you're the, yeah, right? I am the Lord, I change not. You know, the same God of the Old Testament who had chariots of fire protecting the prophet is the same God that has a provision for us no matter what our situation is. And therefore, now when we look at this verse in Matthew, and it says, take no thought. I mean, hopefully we understand it. This gives us a little bit of an insight into what God is saying here. And it says, you know, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life in verse 25. You know, how he takes care of the fowls of the air. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? Verse 28, and why are you taking thought for raiment or clothes? Consider the lilies. Verse 29, you know, the lilies are more beautiful than Solomon with all of his glory. Where's the next one? Verse 31, wherefore take no thought saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? With what shall be closed. For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. To me, that verse is the key to those previous verses. Your heavenly Father knows. Is that enough for us? You know, is that enough for us to think with God no matter what the situation is? Our heavenly Father, I think I looked up knows. What did he say here? He understands, he pays attention to. God knows our situations and circumstances better than we do. So God doesn't want us. So this is the thing. God knows that when we are consumed with thinking about these things, that we are not consumed with thinking about him. That's why it says, seek first him and all these things will be added unto you. But if we're consumed with this, we don't have time for this. But if we're consumed with him, then these things will be given to us and taken care of. So that we are not carrying around this burden of the unknown. And isn't that really what it is? It's a burden of the unknown. It's like these things could happen. You know, I could lose my job. I could kind of, you know, and before you know it, we're like, you know, our head is buried in the sand because we are so weighed down with this stuff. And he says, seek ye first me. And I know that you have need of this and this and this and this, and I have it under control. Oh, thank you. Has nothing to do with me, yeah. There's another verse I just want to read, if I could find it here. getting 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. This is interesting. He careth for you. Listen what Kenneth Weiss says. It says that God has undertaken, listen, I love this. God has undertaken the responsibility of caring for you. Wow, that is, I love that. God has undertaken the responsibility of caring for us. Like it's his responsibility. You know, I am a husband, I am a father. You know, my kids aren't in the house anymore, but you know, I was responsible for caring for my children when they were younger, my wife and I. Caring for my wife and I. But God has undertaken the responsibility of caring for us. And so he says to us, like, cast, like, make a decision. This is what it says also in the Greek. I can't find anything. It's a definite act of the will. So casting is an act of our will, committing to him our worries and saying, I am done worrying about this. That's kind of the way the Greek defines the word. So in other words, we're saying in 1 Peter 5, 7, oh, the verse is right up there. That's awesome. That I am making a definite decision to give these cares that are burdening me and that are maybe bringing depression, despair, whatever, I am making a conscious decision to give those to God, and they are his responsibility. And God says, I am taking responsibility for all of those cares, and you don't have to worry about them. And therefore, go back to Matthew chapter 6, take no thought for these things. Why? Because God knows about them, and he's taken responsibility for them. And this is the reality. This is the real reality of our lives. The things that I'm talking about that's going on in your life are real, and I'm not saying they're not real, and they are unique to your situation. But God says, I know what you're going through. I know it. I have a provision. I am taking responsibility for these things so that you can be free of the burden of worrying about the unknown and what may come. This is awesome. I love this. Now, I just want to close with, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, verse 6, be anxious or be careful, it might say in some of your versions. Or it could say top, you know, so it says be anxious for nothing. Like, don't be anxious for anything. Kind of similar to what Jesus said, take no thought, right? The same Greek word, same message. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So stop thinking about these things. Actually, in the Greek, it brings this perpetual thinking about things you can't control. Stop thinking about them. But through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passes all understanding. So what does that mean? Okay, the understanding of my life and my events means that I should not have peace. But this is talking about a peace that passes understanding. And the word pass, the passes, it means like to be above it. So God gives us a peace that is above our circumstances. It's above what's going on in the world. It's above what's going on in our family. We have a peace that comes from God that is above it all. And that can rule and reign in our hearts. And so people would say, hey, you know what's going on in the world today? Did you see what happened today? Yeah, I did. Well, I mean, you know, do you know what that means? Yeah, I know what it means. But you know what? I have a peace that passes understanding. I have a God that I, you know what? I don't know the end of this situation. I don't know what it's going to be. But I know that my God knows. I know that God already has a provision for it. I know that God is well aware of it, and whatever the situation, however it's going to resolve, it's in God's hands, and I don't have to worry and be anxious about it, but I can have peace that passes understanding. Passes is above it. It's amazing that we can have this with God. This is, you know, hopefully this doesn't sound like pie in the sky or unreachable, but this is the life that God has for all of us. All of us. He wants us to live this way, unburdened by all these things. Yeah, responsibilities we have, yes. This is not presumption. You know, we don't just go out and quit our jobs and say, well, God's going to take, you know, that's not what we're talking about. That's presumption. That's sin is what it says in the Bible. But we're talking about living a life before God with a peace that is above all these circumstances. The devil wants to rob us of what? Our peace. He wants to rob us of what? Our faith. He wants to rob us of what? Our joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. This is what he wants. He wants to reduce us to just an unsaved type of life where everything that happens throws us into a, you know, throws us into something. I don't know what. When I can't think of a word, it means it's time to be done. So, I'll just close with verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you, God, for this message. We thank you for these thoughts. We thank you what you have said to our hearts today, God, that you have taken the responsibility for us off of our shoulders, the weight, the unknown, the uncertainty. You take it all. And God, what an edifying, what a great thought that is, Lord. And let it become a reality, the real reality in all of our lives, God. That we could live this way, unburdened by the things that have taken the world down in so many ways, God. So we're so thankful. And also, I just want to pray today, if you have never received Christ, you say, I don't have that peace. I'm not sure what you're talking about. I don't know God the way you're talking about him. Maybe that's you today. And I just want to say that you can have a relationship with God that's exactly what we talked about today. He desires that for you. He wants that for you. He died on the cross so that you can have that type of life. And so all you have to do is just to begin, is just to say, Lord, come into my life. I want this kind of life, God. I want to give my burdens to you. I want to give everything to you. And if you said that prayer this morning, if you're online or here in the auditorium, here in the chapel, just say that prayer. God, come into my life. Be my Savior. Take my burdens. Give me this new life you're talking about. If you said that today, just lift up your hand if you're here in the chapel, just so we can acknowledge that, if there's anyone here today. Maybe your first day. Brand new life with Christ. Well, Father, again, we thank you for this message. Thank you for who you are. And we just pray in Jesus' name. Amen.